Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training.
We'll get going.
All right, let's fix this up. Here we go.
Here we go. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is Amy Porterfield. Amy is the host of the top-ranked business podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy. And the creator of, a bunch of super successful online courses. Today, we're going to be talking about, speaking of courses, how to turn your book into an online course, and maybe even a little bit the other way around. So how to turn your online course into a book. She's also working on an upcoming book. We'll talk about that. So lots of good stuff to cover. Amy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here.
Hey, so this is the $1 million question, or the chicken or the egg question that I get asked all the time. Should I write a book first, or should I create an online course first? What's your take?
I want to have an answer for you. I do. I genuinely believe there is no right answer here. We can break it down. We can talk about the pros and cons of both for sure. And I've seen it done both ways, but you really can't go wrong. You really can't go wrong with either way.
What's your take on the pros and cons and kind of what makes sense for
Let's talk people? About it. So my gut would say digital course first and then a book. And here's why. Here's the big pro of a digital course versus a book. When you create a digital course, the greatest thing, and the way I teach digital courses is you create one digital course and you sell it, launch it, over and over and over again. That way you're not constantly creating a million things at once, spinning plates in the air. Like, you really focus on one thing. It's like the book, the one thing, or essentialism. It's like, let's get really laser focused on what's most important and where you should put your energy. So if you create this one digital course and you sell it over and over again, every time you launch it, there's like a new iteration of it. You're updating it. Most importantly, your students are telling you what works with it and what they want fixed with it, where they're struggling, where they're hitting those roadblocks. You're collecting all these testimonials as you go. So this digital course is a living, breathing thing in itself. And it's so easy to update. Unlike a book, for the record. And so you can shape it how you want. So let's say you create this digital course and you launch it once, and then you make it better and you launch it again, make it better. By that third time, man, you are nailing it. And all along, hopefully your sales are climbing, but your testimonials are growing and you're becoming a better teacher. You're refining your content, you're getting feedback. Now you write the book. Now that book is some of the best stuff you've ever written because it's tried and tested, battle tested through that digital course. If you write a book about the same topic of the course, which we could talk about, you don't have to do that. However, if we flip that, and that's the way I'm doing it, but if you flip that and you write the book first, there's something about getting a book out there. I think a book is likely easier to sell than a digital course in most places. A book can be on a shelf at an airport, where it's not so much like that with a digital course. A book can be sold online, but in a physical location. A book can be passed around really easily. It's a no-brainer decision. Like, how many times do you just buy a book on Amazon out of nowhere? You never think about, should I make this investment? It's typically not the conversation. With a course, it is more of an investment, especially if you charge $2,000 like I do, which you don't need to. So I think it's easier to sell a book in the front end of a funnel, or it's more, you get a bigger, if you do your marketing right, a bigger platform sometimes, not always. I'm still, as I'm talking about it, I'm still in favor of course first, book second.
Got it. Okay. And you said that's what you're doing with your book. So your upcoming book is coming out of a course that you already have.
So a kind of ish, kind of not. So I'm glad we're talking about that. So I'm in the throes of writing a book right now. Like, I am in my morning ritual of writing every morning. I got the book deal. They're waiting for it. I'm now on a timeline, all that kind of stuff. And so the book I'm writing is to help people, and this is important to show you the difference between my course. The book I'm writing is to help someone understand what it takes to leave a 9-to-5 job or a situation they don't want to be in career-wise anymore and move into creating their own online business, not digital course, creating their own online business and being their own boss. So my book is half inspirational, motivational, half here's exactly what you do. So that book is not identical to my digital course. I have two digital courses. One is how to grow an email list and grow an audience. And one is how to take your expertise and turn that into a digital course. Both of them are about starting online businesses and growing your online business as a boss, but they're very, very specific. So I took all this knowledge of my courses and I asked myself, what's missing? So I did it a little different. There's so many things you can do with a book and a course. I asked myself, what's missing? And what's missing is I don't have anything to meet people at the very beginning of their journey, right when they're like, wait a second, I don't like my 9-to-5 job, but I have no idea what else I would do. And so this book meets them there. The book will pull them into my world. And then from there, hopefully they'll want to grow an email list and create a digital course. So it's funny, the book is at the top of my funnel, but I waited a while to write it so that I really knew what needed to be written. I wouldn't have known if I didn't have the digital courses and the students to shape it.
And that was the feedback loop, probably to shape a lot of the content that's now being synthesized into the book. And it's kind of like, you know, I always think of it, the book's the 10,000 foot view, or even, even, and sometimes the 30,000 foot view. And then the course is in the weeds, like walking you through it. It's like the, I mean, it's the value ladder, right? Which is teach me how to do it, show me how to do it for me. And so I can read the book and it's the instruction manual. And it's like, okay, I understand this now, but I need a little bit of extra help. Okay, now I'm going to continue on and purchase your online course that might talk about a lot of the same things, but in greater detail. And then, you know, depending on the business, it's, they might get to that point and say, hold up, can I actually just pay you to help implement this?
Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Cool. Which I don't have. So I, so with my business model, I stop at, now it will be the book and the digital course. I just choose not to do one-on-one, but it can be incredibly lucrative if you went in that order: book, digital course, and then one-on-one.
And I want to circle back to some of the book stuff and how this book kind of fits in with your business and all that stuff. Before we circle back to that, let's talk first turning your online course into a book. I know that you're taking some of the concepts. What would be your kind of advice for folks who already have an online course? And they want to take that content and turn that into a book.
So I don't think there's any problem with having both, but I think that do the same thing. They teach the same thing. The only thing is that there has to be a distinction. One, there has to be a benefit to reading the book and a benefit to writing, going through the digital course. I don't think they should choose one or the other. I think they should want to have both. What, now you decide what order you want them to purchase it in, and you can shape your funnels that way. But I believe that you don't want two identical things. You might be saying, well, maybe some people want to learn through a digital course and maybe some people want to learn through a book, and you could, but then I feel like I have two identical products and they're competing with each other. And, and as a marketer, that's not my most favorite way to market. So my suggestion would be, let's say you had a digital course. You could take all that content and put it into a book and add new examples, maybe in teach it in a different way, whether it be maybe in a shorter way, faster way for them to get results, maybe take it a little bit in a new direction, so that when people ask you, well, should I get the book or the course? Well, you need both, and here's why. I think that's a really good opportunity, and I love to bundle things, so that could be a really great bundle. But you hit it on the head with the digital course. Typically we'll go deeper step by step. You have the opportunity to show more examples, link to more things, download the PDFs, listen to the audio. There's just so much more, many more layers with the course. So that's why I would love the book to be a little bit simpler actually than the course. If you're asking my opinion, that's typically what I would choose.
That's interesting on the differentiation piece.
I do. Yeah. I thought about it a lot. I've seen it done in many, many ways. Another way I've seen it done is that your book, let's say, is like the general overarching whatever you want to teach. Like Gabby Bernstein is a perfect example. She's more in the meta manifestation spiritual world, and she has many courses that correlate with her books. Mm. And one of the things I love is that she could take a chapter or a main theme out of the book, and she'll go deep with it, let's say, in a digital course. That's another way that you could do it. Hmm. And let's say your book is doing really well, but there's this one chapter that people go back to again and again and again. Think about that. When they start leaning into something specifically, that could be in and of itself its own digital course, where then you get into a lot of how-to.
That's great. That's a great tip that kind of parlays into the, I guess, the reverse question, which is turning a book into a course. I think this is something, you know, our students ask about all the time. Our audience asks about all the time. It's like, all right, I've published this book. It's doing pretty well. It's sold a decent amount of copies. Like, the next step to really monetize this is to productize this and kind of create and launch an online course off of the back end of this book. So what are your thoughts about making that, like, thoughts and recommendations on making that transition from book to course?
That's probably the easiest transition. So I said earlier that I think it's probably easier to sell more books than courses, but what I didn't say is the courses are going to be more profitable. You can make a lot more money off of the courses.
Sure.
Funny enough, I did the traditional publishing with this book. I got an agent, I got a publisher, I got a big fat book deal, and I can make that money a whole lot faster with a digital course launch. And I'm proud of the money I made with the book. So courses will make you more money than a book, but a book, like I said, can get out there in a bigger way, I think, more easily. So to answer your question, you've got some options here. If you have a book already written, I feel as though creating a digital course, you're in the best situation. Like, it's going to be easier for you. You could take exactly what you teach in the book, put it in a course, and then that's when you go deeper. That's when you add the different modalities, like the PDFs and the audio and the video and all that good stuff. Also, so it's a really easy transition. And think about it this way. If you've got the book already written, where can you add interviews into a digital course, more exercises for them to do, or different ways, some case studies or some audits that you do, or whatever the topic might be? So it's just a more layered experience. But if they love the book, but they really want to get into it, like you said, step by step by step, that's the course. And most people love to learn through a digital course, so it just makes the most sense. But there can be tons of overlap between the two.
That's great. Now, so, all right, I've kind of turned my book into an online course, or I've launched a course maybe on one of the specific chapters going way deeper, or maybe it's just related. How do I get my first sales? Yes. Like, that's gotta be, I mean, I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, but my first 10 sales, I feel like those are probably the hardest.
Of your digital course.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I teach is what we call a pre-launch. And even before you create the course from the book, one of the things you could do is you could say, I'm thinking about creating a digital course that follows the book. Here's what I'm going to include. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow 10 buyers to be the founding members of this course. You're going to get a deep discount. You're going to get this thing special. Who's in? And we float the idea and actually take the money. And then once this is our way of validating, once people have paid, let's say you got 10 people to pay, then you've just done your big validation step. So I love a pre-sell before you even create the course. Keep it simple. You can even do PayPal if you want, Venmo, whatever it might be. So that's one of the things. But let's say beyond that, how do you sell a digital course? My favorite way to sell a digital course is with webinars. And I've been around 12 years in the online marketing world. My very first webinar was with Tony Robbins. I used to work with him for 7 years, and we were practicing. I was still in corporate, and we were in San Diego. I was in San Diego. He was in his house in Palm Springs. we were practicing a go-to webinar. He had never done a webinar. I had never done a webinar. And we were practicing the night before, just making sure it was all set up. Now, in true Tony style, he had people pay for this webinar. You know, most of us do webinars for free. No, not Tony. They paid $100 to be on his webinar. We had 800 people signed up. And I was going through it. I was running the technology. I clicked a button and it deleted the webinar. And Tony says to me, Amy, why did I just get an email that said our webinar has been deleted? Like I got an email that said it. All 800 people that night got that email. Webinar was deleted. It's done. It's not happening. I like think I lost like a couple of days off my life. I was so freaked out. I had totally frustrated Tony and I stayed up all night with the company to try to get it all back into place. After many, many tears, thank God, by the time Tony woke up the next morning, I got it back up. But I say this because webinars freak people out a little bit. They're live, there's video, there's technology. People are like, no, I'll just post about it on social. I'll just send maybe one email out to my super small email list. And then they're disappointed and think digital courses don't work. Webinars are the most valuable way to sell a digital course because with a webinar, you teach, you offer value, you give. I have this motto, if you get on one of my webinars, no matter if you buy or not, you walk away feeling inspired, excited, and driven to take action, no matter if you buy or not. Mm. If you do a webinar like that, people are buying and they're getting results. So yeah, best way to sell a digital course is through a webinar.
Got it. Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement.
And so was that, were you presenting on that webinar? Was Tony presenting?
No, I was so okay. In the background. No. That was all Tony.
I was like, man, what a first. I'm like, talk about my first webinar to Tony Robbins' audience.
I would die. I would not have lived.
A heck of a first webinar.
No, totally behind the scenes.
I've got one of those stories too, where it was one of my first webinars. One of our first online course launches was Self-Publishing School. And we had like 1,000 people in this webinar. And, you know, I get 10, 15 minutes in and I have my lucky shirt on.
Oh yeah.
I've got my tea. I'm doing my thing. And, you know, I didn't think I was on camera. Cause I thought it was screen sharing. And so I'm like, you know, something, as you see on the slides. And then I just glance down at my iPad. And I'm trying, you know, you try not to look at the chat too much with that many people because it's just going crazy.
I get it.
And it's just like, what are you talking about? I don't see slides. Where are the slides? And I had been on camera the whole time. And there were no slides up.
Oh God. No, I totally get it.
And I remember it was that day that I was like, all right, this is never happening again. I'm gonna do a webinar every single week between now and the rest of the year. And this was in like May. And it was like, all right, I'm going to get better at webinars. And so I love that you said that, and just know that guys, try a webinar. You won't mess it up more than I did.
Seriously. When you think people are seeing slides and they're seeing you, that's like mortifying. And for a woman, for the record, it's even worse, because I did have a student of mine that she had no makeup on, hair in a bun, old ratty t-shirt, thinking I'm not on video at all. She was on video in a little corner the entire time. Oh, no. But when you think you're not on video, you're not looking at the camera.
Yeah,
you're just doing this. You got your thing. And you look a little ridiculous. So I feel you. And my favorite thing about what you said is you said, I'm going to get good at this. Because a lot of people say, I'm never doing a webinar again. That was terrified me. No, that the winners keep doing it. I have done hundreds and hundreds of webinars and many tech issues along the way. Yeah. I wouldn't trade it for a minute. It's still that powerful.
For sure. Any tips on getting people registered
yes.
for webinars?
Yes, that's, I love this question. So typically in my world, what I tell my students is you're shooting for at least a 30% show up rate. Back in the day, actually, it was 20%. We've actually seen more people showing up live at webinars if you do it right. So the showing up live is so important because there's a higher perceived value when people show up live. It's so ridiculous, I know, because I'll do the exact same webinar live and then recorded. And people, if it's recorded, are you live? Are you live? I'm like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, I promise. But they want you there live. So they're going to, the people that show up live, they're very much paying attention. They're going to be the people that will buy from you. So we got to get them on live. A few quick things. Number one, I wouldn't promote the webinar more than 7-10 days max before the actual live webinar. You do it too soon, they lose interest, life gets busy, they forget. So the closer you can get to actually when the webinar is for the sign up, the better. Number two, you've got to email them within those 7 days. Let's say someone signs up 7 days before your live webinar. I want to see an email 5 days before the webinar, 3 days, 2 days. I want to see two or three on the day of the webinar to remind them we're 10 minutes out. Let's get going. I know it feels like a lot. It makes a huge difference. And then the best advice I can give that totally shook things up for us is that we do a show up live bonus. We say, if you show up live in the first 5 minutes, we will give you XYZ, whatever that bonus would be to them. And so would be valuable to them. For us, it's something about growing your email list usually. But we put together a really beautiful guide that you only get if you show up live. We link it right at the beginning of the live webinar, and it has changed the game. So we're seeing 40 to 42% usually show up rate, and that's incredible. So yeah, well, we work hard for that. It's not something that happens. So I'm glad you asked that question.
That's awesome. Hey, let's switch gears a little bit. So, and so we're kind of, you know, putting a bow on the online course thing, and I'm sure we'll circle back to it. But so it's using webinars to, as a sales mechanism to, to, and then I love what you talked about with founding members in the pre-launch. So we always say sell before you build. And so that's an example of that. Right. So circling back, so you just got this big book deal, you're writing this book. It sounds like it's going to be a big part of your business.
Huge.
Why now and why write this book?
So to be honest, I've talked about writing a book for 5 years. And I think the book I'm writing today, I think I could have written just as good of a book 5 years ago. I was scared. I let every excuse in the book take over me writing this book. Everything felt more important, got in the way. Now is not the right time. So I always say that because anyone thinking about writing a book, do it now. Do it now. You're going to wish you did it 5 years from now when you actually maybe do it. So anyway, I've been talking about it for 5 years. And then last year I was like, this is happening. I told my leadership team, we are writing this book. It's happening. And then COVID hit. So I take that one as a really valid excuse because I went into major support mode to my students. Like they were struggling and I wanted to be there for them. So I put it on the shelf one more time. When 2021 hit, I said, no more. This is ridiculous. So why now? I really do. I became obsessed, and this is so the truth. I became obsessed with the woman that I serve. And in my mind, she is this woman in a cubicle. She's working her butt off. She's really knowledgeable, super skilled. She may be maybe a manager, a director, or something like that. And she's sitting there thinking, I've missed every single dinner with my kids. I am working for someone I don't even want to work with. I'm building someone else's dream, and I'm not getting paid what I'm worth, and I hit the glass ceiling. Like, I don't know what to do, but I'm not loving this anymore. I think of her every day and I want to write this book for her. So I feel compelled. I know how to change her life. I know what I can do for her. I've got the formula of how to move out of a 9-to-5 into being your own boss. And I know how scary it is because I literally left a job with Tony Robbins to do what I'm doing. So I get it. I get the scariness of it all. So I just, the why now is because I know I can help her. I know I can help her, and I'm not going to be scared anymore to take the leap. Mm. Writing a book is freaking scary. Like telling stories I've never told before, I'd rather not, but I think that I need to do it.
Yeah, that's great. And I love that you're so clear on the avatar because I mean, I this is what you do. Right. So naturally you're going to be good at this. But whether it's a course or whether it's a book, you know, this is so important to, so we always tell our students, it's like, think of one person that you actually know that, and then write that book, write the book to them. So one thing we'll say, and this might help when, as you're writing, is almost write it as like a dear so-and-so. And then, and so then when you're thinking like, oh, do I include that story or not? Should I be funny or should I be serious? Should I, it's the answer to all of those questions is how would I communicate with Amy? Right.
I love or that. Whoever else. The dear so-and-so. That's really cool because
delete it at the end.
I love tips like that because writing the book is hard. Like I'm 1 month in. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not the easiest thing I've ever done.
We got a bunch of resources we'll send you. That'll help.
I'll take them all.
What's been the biggest lesson learned from your first month of writing?
That I have to let go of the judgment. I'll write a sentence. I'll be like, that's ridiculous. Delete. Or I'll sit there. Like I have nothing good to say. I've realized that I've said this for so long that I feel like everyone must know everything I've said. Yeah. And so my biggest lesson is to remember I'm actually writing this book for a woman that doesn't even know who I am. I want someone who's on a business trip, rushing through the airport, going to yet another meeting she doesn't want to go to for a job she doesn't even like. And she sees my book and she's like, I'm just going to grab it. So she doesn't know me. It's not about me. In the online marketing world, when your own personal brand, your ego can get really tied into, people know you, you're building this personal brand. But this book is for that woman that doesn't even know who the heck I am, but she needs the message. So I have to remember the lesson is like, she doesn't know my stories. She doesn't know all these things I've been teaching for so long. So I got to let go. I have to be nicer to myself in my head. Yeah.
And that, I mean, that'll just help things flow.
Right,
as you're going through the writing process. So talk to us about, I know you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but what's the book about and how does it fit in with the goals for your business?
Oh, I love this question. I love talking about how things fit into business. So I'm such a nerd like that, I guess, because when I said that, I was like, you sound ridiculous, but I do love it. And so the book is about how to move from a 9-to-5 into starting your own business, primarily for women, but anyone can get value from it. But it is very much about why you need to be your own boss and what that does for you in terms of freedom. And for women, us hitting the glass ceiling and all the things that we go through as women to climb the corporate ladder, I talk a lot about how to get beyond that. So there's half inspiration, half literally step-by-step business how-to. So that's what the book's about. Where it fits in is the very beginning of my funnel. So it would probably be even before my podcast. So my podcast is like the number one lead generator into the business. Like it's probably the number one way people find me is through my podcast. And so this would even go above that. And because it's written for someone that's not ready to create a digital course, probably she's not ready to dive into something like that. She's actually just like, what does it even mean to start an online business? Like, how do you even grow an email list? How do you get a website up and running? Like, it's very much for the beginner. So I don't have that in my business. And like I said earlier, I asked myself, what's missing here? Like, if I look at the customer journey, where are there holes? And there was a big hole at the top. So that's why we wrote the book.
And when you say big, there's a big hole at the top of the customer journey. What do you mean by that? And how does this book fill that hole?
So what I mean by that is when people come into my world, I can target people that have been at it for a little while and they're ready to create a digital course. So I can find them with ads and with my podcast, talk about those topics. But I get a lot of people still who find me that they're in a 9-to-5 job and they don't even know where to start. And so I had the choice. I could say, oh, I'm not for you. We can't be for everyone. I'm not for you. I'm for people that are maybe like 1 or 2 years into their online business, ready to start their digital course. Or I could say, oh, I could get you ready to start a digital course faster than 1 or 2 years. Let me give you the foundation. So they've been coming for 12 years anyway, so I'm ready to serve them.
Yeah, got it. And so that it kind of accelerates
them
through the customer journey.
1,000,000%, yeah.
That makes sense. What was your thought process or is your thought process behind the kind of the way you're structuring the book with kind of like the half inspiration, half playbook of implementation?
So if it was up to me, being the marketing nerd I am, I just go for the step-by-step implementation. Sure. Let me tell you exactly what you need to do. Yeah. I know what you need to do to create a business and I know how to be profitable. However, what I've learned along the way is that, and this is what something that Tony taught me, 80% of being an entrepreneur is your mindset. 20% is the mechanics. I could teach you step by step all day long, but if you don't believe that you can do this, if your family doesn't support you on this journey and you don't know what to do about that, if you think your only way is to be working for someone else, all the how-to in the world will matter zero. And so I realized I've really struggled through a lot through 12 years. I've always dealt with lack of like thinking I could do it, lack of confidence, a lot of anxiety, things like that. I've gone through it all. I've had a bad partnership that ended. I started a business I hated in the first 2 years. So there's been a lot of experiences I've had that I wish someone told me about that stuff. So I tell all my stories in the beginning and I give them the confidence they need to move into actually doing the how-to. We got to get right with our minds first. So that's why I split it up in two.
That makes sense. Gosh, I feel like we're so similar.
We are.
Not only just in journeys, but, and I mean, it's so hard fighting that urge, right? I'm the same exact way. It's like, oh no, I'm just going to lay out the steps.
Just
I just have
out.
To constantly remind myself. It's like, hey, that's a boring book, a boring presentation, a boring everything.
Yes.
Even though it feels like, oh no, everyone else is just wired like I am. Like, let's just go through the steps. But then you find yourself reading another book or watching another talk and they start telling stories and you're hanging on every word. Yeah. and it's like, gosh, why do I not? It's like, I'm working on a bunch of talks right now. And I literally had to pull out this thing and just, you can't really read
there,
this.
I can
like,
read it kind of.
All
now.
Right, stories.
All like, your stories. Yes, like, I do the same
all the stories
thing.
I can tell to make these presentations more compelling, because my default is not to go to the story, it's to go to the how-to.
Oh, we are so the same. I actually haven't met a lot of people like us, because most people are really good at the storytelling and maybe not so great at the how-to and the content. No, so yeah, we're a little opposite there.
It's the same kind of weird.
Yes.
So what's your plan for, you know, we'll talk about the launch in just a second, but like, how do you see people ascending from this book into, you know, doing business with you and stuff like that? Like, what do you see that journey looking like?
So we're working on the marketing plan right now, not the marketing plan to launch the book. We're working on that too, but we're working on what does it look like in my business and are we ready for them? And although I feel like we've gotten them into our audience for the last 12 years anyway, I wouldn't say that we're 100% ready for that audience just yet. And what I see is I'm going to suggest this to my team. Luckily, we have about a year to get ready. Yeah. But one simple digital course to come right off the book. Like once they read the book, this is another reason why I like a book and then a digital course. Once they read the book, if they love you, you all know what it feels like to read a book that you absolutely love. Like one of the ones that I recently read, Mel Robbins' 5-Second Rule. I had read it a long time ago, but I'm rereading it. And I want everything to do with Mel Robbins. I love her so much because she's just like changing my life page by page. So when I get done with the book, I'm like, what do you got now? Like, what can I do with you now? So I want to have a simple digital course that serves her and is the very next step off the book. I don't know exactly what I'm going to teach her just yet. And I might already have something like that. I have a list building course. So it's really for beginners. So it's a really good place to start. But there might be one other thing in there. I also want to create a quiz or an assessment to go along with the book. And I will say this last thing, that book's going to be a lead generator for me. So I will have throughout the entire book, different opportunities to opt in to different things. So that's another way that I'll get them into my world and hopefully get them listening to my podcast weekly.
Nice.
Yeah, so, that's another one.
So there's probably be some sort of course alongside this. There's the, you know, the lead gen component through a quiz or assessment and then bridging from the book to the podcast.
That's a big one that I want to make. I want to reference it regularly.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then that probably is, I would imagine as well, kind of a circle of life where the podcast can then promote the book pretty heavily because
majorly.
Like it's the next, I mean, from free subscriber to $15 book is not a big jump. And that's how I feel like you can get a lot of those folks to become, you know, go from subscribers to paying customers.
Me too. In our marketing proposal, that was a big thing we said, that we're using that podcast as a huge vehicle to sell the book.
That's probably why you got such a great advance. Nice. So when is the book launch?
So
an official date?
We do not have an official date yet, okay. Either end of 2022 or early 2023, which feels like a lifetime away, but I think it's going to go fast.
Yeah, cool. And so we'll circle back to that in just a minute.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. This has been cool. Like, I think a lot of times people come on and we're talking about the book stuff like after it's happened. So this has been really cool. And thanks for just allowing us behind the scenes of like while it's happening. And
well, I'm so glad. Because I was like, are you sure you want me on? Yeah. Like, I am deep in the thick of it. But it is it is cool to kind of see what it looks like in the thick of it and talk about that and be really honest. Like, holy cow, I feel like it's all coming really fast. So yeah, I can't wait to talk to you when it's all over.
Hey, so knowing what you know now, and obviously still being in the middle of the process, like what would be your advice to like pre-book deal Amy?
Yes. Great question. And
maybe all the other Amys who are out there who are thinking about taking the step of writing and publishing their first book.
I think that the advice I'd give is don't make any more excuses. Write the book. I think that I know what a book does for the business, or if someone, I don't know, if maybe they're not even looking at it toward their business, but I do believe we all have a book in us. And I think the only thing that stops us is fear, or just like, who's going to read it or who really cares. There's a lot of people that care and will want to read it. So no more excuses. I wish I didn't make as many excuses. I wish I got here sooner. And it's all divine timing. It's all great, but I know it wasn't necessary. So.
Now, Amy, this has been so great. Thank you for sharing. And I think this will be just a great reference that we'll just continually point back to people who want to turn their book into a course. Because cool. I feel like you just laid out a lot of great stuff there. Where can people go to find out more about you, more about your business? And it's probably way too early to have stuff set up for the book.
I wish I could tell you where to go exactly to buy the book. I wish it was done. But if you check me out at my podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy, not only will I share my journey of writing this book, I've got podcasts about the journey. I also have tons of free content on how to get started with an online course, an email list, a digital course, an online business. So Online Marketing Made Easy with Amy Porterfield is my podcast, and I'd love to meet you all there.
Awesome. Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right. Number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right. Reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.